Hello, 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 and welcome, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to the 6000 Radio Network on Friday night with AJ and the squad. Hope everyone's doing well. Glad you are here to join us. We've got an action-packed night tonight. We have a theme called Back to School. We know everybody's going to go back to school, so we're going to share some stuff with you. Excuse me. Hope that we can make your back-to-school experience a pleasurable one. So sit back, relax, and see what we have in store for you. That's going to be something you want to know about, that's for sure. So, again, we thank you for visiting with the 6000 Radio Network. Feel free to dial 424-243-9617. Press 1 if you would like to talk, because we would definitely like to hear from you.
Hello, Miss Lady.
All right, I'm Evangelist Clayton.
Yes, ma'am.
Could you give us a prayer, please?
Our Father who art in heaven, holy would be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debt as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Save in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, that we ask and pray. Father God, almighty God, we thank you, God, and thank you, God, for keeping us humble, Father God. In the name of Jesus, we repent of anything said, done, omission, commission to grieve thy spirit, Father God, and displease you in any way, form, or fashion, God. Lord, we glorify you and we magnify your name, God, and we thank you for meeting us once again, Father God, at the appointed time, God. Father God, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, God, we ask, Lord, that you would go before us, God, as a fountain empty, to refill, redefine, and restore and revive us, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, we ask, Lord, to bless the ears that have an ear to hear, God, what is coming out of the airways tonight, Father God, that it applies to our daily walk, God, and our daily lives, God, and that it would affect someone, God, to catch hope, God, and, Father God, to continue to persevere and press their way through, God. And, Lord, this is a pressing moment and a pressing time, God, but we know, God, that you are able to do all things exceedingly in abundance and above all that we ask or think, Father God. And, Lord, we ask that you create in us a clean heart and renew that right spirit within thee, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Know the help that we know, but all of our help cometh from thee. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you continue to uphold 6 Hours Radio Network with AJ and the squad, Father God, and each and every member. Read at the table of their heart, God, to what they standeth in the need of, God, and that you meet every need, God, according to thy will, God. And, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you continue to wrap and hold those, God, that are going through bereavement, those that are going through the loss of loved ones, those that are going through mental challenges, those that are going through psychological and emotional disturbance, God. We know that you're able, God, to do all things, Father God, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, that you continue to rest, rule, and that you abide with each and every one of us. And, Lord, let us don't leave here with an empty plate, but that our plate will be filled tonight. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, as we agree and touch. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we thank you so much for that prayer. Who didn't need that? I know I did.
Yes.
So if you were alive,
yes,
you breathing, blow on your hand. You need it too.
Thank
so
you.
We thank you so much,
yes,
for that, because we know it was heartfelt, and we know you meant everything you said.
Yes.
So how's everybody doing tonight? Everybody good? Everybody good?
Yes.
Yes.
How about
well?
You?
Hello, Mr. Johnson.
Yes. Good, good, good.
I am.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep, yep, yep. Today is Friday. Friday night.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
Hallelujah, it's a Friday.
Yeah.
What's that song?
You know,
just got
that
pay. Friday night.
We got the
feeling
that
feeling right.
Right.
Feeling
God
right.
Feeling
right.
Don't check the mirror. I'm looking
right.
Hello, Mr. Johnson, and welcome to Show and Tell. What do you have to show and to tell for today?
Well, I got a tape. Man, I got the best thing in the world, Show and Tell, say. Look at here, look at here, look at here, right here on this here, right?
Mr. Johnson, You're supposed to bring something for show and tell.
Well, that's what I'm about to tell you. It's a show and tell. It's a show, and they're going to tell it.
Mr. Johnson, I don't think you really understand. You know, you're supposed to bring something. You show it and tell it. You know?
Yeah, and you get to set up in listen. You see, it's a show and it's a tell. Yeah, it's a show, and they'll tell it. I know what I'm doing now. So you sit back in the nation, I'll show you about the show and the tale. Now, here, ladies and gentlemen, for my show and my tale is on the 6i Radio Network. Is that here? AJ and the Squad. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's my show and tell moment right here. And see, if you shush, I show. It's going to begin, and it's going to be telling. So it's a show, and it's going to tell. Now, see, I know what I'm doing there. Ain't that right, Mr. Green?
Oh, Mr. Johnson, the item of this thing that comes off yours, you bring something, you show it, and you tell what it is.
Well, that's what I'm doing. I'm showing you this here flyer and how you get on this thing, and I'm telling you about it. So therefore, I'm showing you a show, and I'm telling you about it, and you can go in and see it for yourself. Now, this here is a flyer, at least. On the 6i's Radio Network, AJ and the Squad, every Friday night, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, and the number is 424-243-9616. And see, you can also find it on that there Facebook at AJ and the Squad Live every Friday night, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. See, that's my show, and that's a telly. That's a show, and I tell. See, that's a show I watch, and I'm telling y'all about it. So therefore, I am complete. Now, how you like that, Mr. Green?
Well, Mr. Johnson, that sounds pretty interesting. And I think I'm going to go home and I'm going to watch that show here tonight. It starts at 9 o'clock, huh?
Yep, starts at 9 o'clock. You just press that there one when you dial in, and you can give a comment, and they'll ask you questions. You want to ask questions, too. Yep, show you. They got a speaker on there just about every night. All right.
All right, sir. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Y'all have a good day now.
You are now listening to AJ and the Squad on the 6i's Radio Network. Hit us up, 424-243-9617. Check, check.
Job I got on the block, charge that to the chase. Young girl, she grew up in a rush, had it bad, no doubt, she don't know who to trust. Every man she ever loved, only wanna crush,
charge that to the
chase. But it's all crazy, hey baby, shot, get popped, the cops shut down the party. Jeans back low, blow the smoke out of the country. We've got love for y'all, we've got love for y'all. She was a dime, so naive that she believed every single line. 17 first time, picked up, about to have a child.
Charge that
to the chain. Was just up in my single family home. She did the best she could, did it all alone. Met a man, but he won't raise a child, that's not alone. No, no, no.
That was Shaheen with Fabulous.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Oh, welcome to another episode of AJ and the Squad on the 6 Hours Radio Network. Thank you, Evangelist Clay. That was a beautiful prayer. Thank you, Uncheco. That was a great, great song selection.
Are you welcome?
Appreciate you, Queen, opening us up, setting us off. How's everybody doing this evening?
Oh, well, I'm good.
You know how we always do with our buddy checks, mental health checks. You know, so as we do one, we go around the table, start with our queens, introduce ourselves, and tell everybody what's going on with you.
Well, hey, good evening, everyone. Again, this is Queen calling out of North Carolina, and my mental is great today. It's been a great day. It's been a really, really laid-back day. So it's been pretty good. I feel like things are working their way out. Things are in great perspective, and I just thank you for asking. Thank you guys for being here, and I hope that your mental is as well. I'm complete. Thank you so much.
This is Uncheckable Colin from Chi-Town. Mm-hmm. Check. My mental is, that's good, you know. The devil be trying me, but I ain't going to let him get to me, but I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with Asiana Squad tonight, so check.
That's right.
I'm Miss Pride and Joy, and I'm calling from North Carolina as well. And I just say my mental is awesome because I'm thinking about this, my last child, and she's going to get out of school this year. So, hey, that's okay with me.
I can't believe it.
She's her last year.
My baby
blessing.
A big girl now.
Yes, she is. So my mental is going smooth just to think about it's going to be better days coming.
That's right.
Yes. Amen.
Hey, man, good afternoon, each and everyone. This is Evangelist Clayton, and I'm hailing out of the great state, sunny side up, ain't got nothing but love for you, waving a sanctifying hand at you, and you can't lose with the stuff that he used. Amen,
okay.
And my mentor is wonderful. I can't thank him enough. You know, I can complain, but I have no room to complain. Amen, as long as I got up clothed in my right mind. Amen. Able to make sound decisions. My mentor is extraordinary. You know, we have the trials and tribulations.
Yes.
We have those that come through sometimes that bumps
yes,
you.
God.
But I thank God it bumps you back into the right place. So my mentor
yes,
is extraordinary.
God.
And school is getting clocked up and the buses is moving about. Amen.
Hmm.
To God be the glory. Amen. And I'm completed.
Yes.
Amen.
Hello, everyone. This is Destiny. And I'm calling from out of the state of Virginia. My mental right now is doing very, very well. I was dealing with a lot of thunderstorms and horrific lightning. It was really, really bad lightning today. Struck someone here. I hope and pray that they're okay. But if not, I know that they're in the bosom of the Lord. And just thank y'all for coming to listen to us tonight.
Amen.
And by the way, the phone lines are open at 424-243-9617. Please join us. Press the 1. Come on into the host queue and share your opinions, suggestions, and thoughts with us. You know, share your mental with us. Tell us how you're doing. Do we have any kings in the house tonight?
Yep. This is two pieces. My mental is off the chain. And my reason for it, on the 8th coming up, I will be celebrating 3 years of transplant. Good health, everything going well, just like it's supposed to be. My liver, my pancreas, my kidney is working awesomely. So I'm happy about it. Can't wait.
Congratulations, sir.
Thanks, sir.
Do we have Mr. Godfather in the building tonight?
Okay. Second, I got a 205. My mental is good, and I hope everybody is feeling fine.
There you go.
Yes, it is.
How you doing, sir? You been okay?
I'm doing fine, man.
Larry, you got about to say, let everybody know. Let everybody know.
Yes, yes.
That part. How about, I heard Mr. Wolfgang is with us tonight. Is Mr. Wolfgang with us tonight? You out there, sir?
Yeah, and I'm doing awesome.
Glad to have
there
you. Glad to have
Hello,
you with us tonight,
friend.
Sir.
Hello there, sir.
He sums it up
Hello,
real quick. Hello, yes, hi. I'm awesome. See ya.
Yep.
Straight to the point as always,
I
Mr. Wolf.
So I thought I'd save the time, save the good stuff for later.
Absolutely.
There
absolutely.
You go.
Absolutely.
Hi, I'm Ruth, Kenny's wife.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
How you
well,
doing?
Hello
Thanks
there.
For calling in.
How you
hello,
doing
good
tonight?
Evening.
Hanging in, sweetheart.
Evening,
hope you're all good, too. God bless.
That's what's up. Glad
we
you could join us this
hanging
evening.
In there. Glad you're with us.
Do we have any other new callers? Anybody else that would like to express themselves tonight?
Don't
be well, here.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, what's
this
going on?
This is Emily.
Oh, hey, Emily.
Hi,
Miss
Emily.
Emily.
How are you?
Doing, Miss
hey, Emily.
We have a celebrity. We have a celebrity in the building.
Emily in the house.
I got to talk to my
Thank you for coming
today.
Blessing us with your presence, sweetheart.
Well, that's great.
How you
I
been
got
doing, Miss Emily?
Trying to be a pain in mommy's behind, and I got the other one that wants to aggravate mommy.
You know, hey, that's what
oh,
they
what
do.
Yeah,
that's what they do.
Yeah, you know, my children are grown. They can still be a pain in the
yes,
back.
Yes, yes.
That part.
That's what they do.
I kind of got the down start today, but I got to thinking my older two girls, and one of my granddaughters are with the board, so I had to stop and thank God that, hey, I still got two out of the four.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And good evening, everybody. I'm AJ, hailing out of Ohio, the great state of Ohio.
Hi, AJ.
Hey, hey, good evening, everybody. Good evening, everybody.
Ohio.
Squad. And y'all know me, same story. I go do it every day. But, you know, as we say, you got to, or as Miss Destiny would say, you got to push. You know, you got to push through it. You know, right. So, you know, we all have our moments. I've had a couple today. Mm-hmm. But, like I say, you know, being here on the 6 Hours Radio Network, being here with my queen, being here with the squad, you know, surrounded by friends, family, loved ones, people I respect. People appreciate what we do every Friday night. So I'm good. I'm great. I can't wait. We got a couple of great – well, actually, we got three great speakers tonight. So, yeah, I can't wait to get into it. Was somebody trying to say something in the background? Okay. And can we all be – all callers, please be conscientious of your backgrounds because these mics are very sensitive and they pick up everything. So if you do have loud background music, can you please put your phone on mute?
Mm-hmm.
And if you are on speakerphone, that makes a lot of echoing going on. So please just be conscientious of that. Anybody else? Okay. Moving right along, Ms. Pride and Joy, I believe that you have something that you would like to introduce, a new segment. To the 6 Hours Radio Network and AJ and the squad on Friday's night. Go right ahead, Ms. Pride. I'll take it away.
All right. So we want to welcome you to We Are the BLB. And on this segment, we will be talking to individuals that are blind and visually impaired. We also will be bringing out technology and resources. So since school is getting ready to go back, one of the things that I asked Mr. Wolfgang to talk about was Braille. And the reason why I asked him to talk about Braille, because I'm looking on the outside. I have people that be talking, and they talk about how hard it is. And I hear a lot of people say that that's the reason why they didn't finish it, because Braille is so hard. And so I wanted him to kind of just open it up and, you know, let us hear a little bit about it. I went to read about it because I wanted to just kind of see, can I see what they was actually talking about. So I asked Mr. Woodgang to be the speaker, to come out and talk to it with the night. So, Mr. Woodgang, I would like to ask you to come up and be the speaker for tonight.
Yep. And first off, I'd just like to start off by letting people know. See, I have been what they call, they used to have here in Ashtabula County, what they call LVA, or Literacy Volunteers of America. And then later that has been changed to ABLE, Adult Basic Literacy Education. And I am their official Braille tutor for those who are adults that have become blinded who need to know how to learn to read Braille. So I am glad to be on here tonight to kind of explain what Braille is. See, I learned Braille back when I was in school, and now I teach it. So tonight, if you will, class is in session. Okay?
All right.
So what would be nice is I'm going to give you guys first a basic overview of what Braille is, and then have you guys ask questions about it, okay?
Okay?
Now, first off, a lot of people, that's the first misnomer about Braille, that it's difficult, as you guys already described. That is the first misnomer, the bad side. They try to say, well, I can never learn Braille because it's so difficult. Now, the two people that you heard tonight, my wife, Ruth, as well as our friend Emily. Emily happens to have a learning disability that causes her to be slow. But she's one of my students, as well as my wife, Ruth. Okay? So a little bit later, you guys can ask them a few questions. But the thing is, they're learning it right now, process of learning Braille. So, I mean, they haven't got it all down yet, so be patient with them if they don't know an answer. Okay, but they're just in the beginning stages of learning it. But we need to understand what Braille is, and they've got past this stage, okay? Braille is a series of dots that by being put together, they make up words, letters, words, punctuation, or numbers, in order to be read just like you would read a book. Now, how is Braille created? Braille is a series of six dots in what they call a cell. Now, how are the dots formed? Take yourself a domino or dice. Picture the domino or dice on the number six. There are two rows of three. Now, when you've got that pictured in your mind, put the three dots on the left and three dots on the right, going straight up and down. Now, everybody can count to six, so I want you all to count with me, starting on the left. One. Count with me. One.
Two.
One.
Two.
Two.
Three.
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 Three is at the bottom left. Now, starting on the top right, let's count again together. Four.
Four.
Five.
One.
Five.
Six.
Six.
Okay, that's it.
Now, those are your dot numbers. Keep them in your head because in a few minutes, we're going to give you a few dot numbers for a few basic letters, okay? Now, learning Braille is nothing more than memorizing numbers. Any combination of 1 through 6. If you're good at memorizing a phone number, you can memorize the letters for numbers for letters, punctuation, numbers, whatever, by just going from 1 to 6. Now, for our listeners' sake, I'm only going to go from A to E. Okay? Now, picture the cell again. 1 through 6. The letter A is dot one by itself. The letter B is not dot two by itself, but rather it is dots one and two.
That's right.
Letter C is dots one and four.
Oh, yeah.
Now, do you see where it's at? Across the top, one and four? Letter D is dots one, four, and five. The letter E is dots one and five. As you can see, by memorizing the dot numbers for any particular letter, you can write Braille. See, it's just a matter of memorizing dot numbers. Now, for numbers, all you take is the first 10 letters of the alphabet, A through J, and you put what they call a number sign in front of it. The number sign being dots 3, 4, 5, 6. And thus, the letter A becomes number 1. B becomes number 2. And so on. But the J becomes 0. So, Mr. AJ, your letters AJ with the number sign in front of it becomes the number 10.
Right.
Didn't know you were a number 10, did you, JJ?
No, I sure did, but I am a dime. I've been told that before, and I'm a dime. I didn't even know what that meant. What did that even mean? I don't.
See, in Braille, your AJ would stand for number 10.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I just went J to 0.
So aren't you proud of yourself? You made 10.
Absolutely. I made it. I'm in the big leagues.
I'm not talking because I always painted Braille. Oh, my God.
But, see, Braille is not complicated. Now, here's what's interesting about Braille in the letters. The first 10 letters, once you've got those memorized, you add dot 3 to the first 10 letters, and you get the second 10 letters. For example, the letter A, dot 1, you add dot 3 with it, 1, 3 becomes K. B, which is 1, 2, you add dot 3, becomes L, and so on. See, Braille isn't as hard or complicated as many people make it, but there are some teachers, they make it complicated and hard, and that's why people say Braille is so hard. But I go the easy route when I'm teaching. I make Braille fun and easy, and I work with the dot numbers. And as Emily and Ruth will tell you, I work a lot with the dot numbers. And, for example, like Queen, hers would be her name, first starting with a capital sign, which is dot 6, then Q, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, U, 1, 3, 6,
yeah.
E, 1, 5, E, 5, N, 1, 3, 4, 5. That's how you would spell Queen in Braille. And so that's the basics of Braille, the basics. Then, of course, it gets more advanced when you get past grade 1. That's your alphabet and your numbers and punctuation. Then you get into grade 2, where there are a lot of what they call contractions. Like the word blind, you wouldn't put B-L-I-N-D. You would put B-L. The word Braille, you wouldn't type out, you wouldn't Braille out the whole word Braille, B-R-A-I-L-L-E. Instead, you would put B-R-L.
Like shorthand.
Yeah. It, that way it takes less space in your Braille writing. Mm-hmm. And that's called grade two, English Braille. And that's what a lot of your Braille books are written in.
Yep.
But the Braille that you see on your elevators is all grade one.
Mm-hmm.
Because they use letters and numbers. Okay, now for you guys. Any questions?
Where can you get the Braille, like Braille books? Learn how to, you know, get your hands on anything where you can practice Braille. And I hear a lot of people say that they have, like, their fingertips. It's hard for them to read the Braille. Is there any, like, raised or different types of forms or levels to the Braille with people who maybe have problems with their fingertips trying to the Braille, or is there even, like, Braille readers? I don't even know if there is such a thing. I don't.
Okay. There are several questions you asked there. First off, as far as where to get Braille books, if you're a sighted person, you'd have to look for places that have old Braille books that they're willing to give away, okay?
Right.
But remember, once again, those would be in grade two, okay? Secondly, the best way to practice your Braille is to, if you're in contact with a blind person, reading and writing Braille back and forth, letters, is the best practice. Now, as far as training your fingertips to read it by fingertip, is how I teach sighted people to do it. Go out here to your local hardware store and buy you an assorted pack of sandpaper that has the real light grade sandpaper that's somewhere around like 400 grit, all the way to the coarsest, which is around 80 grit or so. And then close your eyes and practice sorting the grits of sandpaper until you could do it by fingertip without looking and get it correct every time.
Oh, that's interesting.
See, what that does is train you to recognize the textures. And then when you're able to do that, then you've trained your fingertips well enough to do that, then you'll be able to start to recognize the dots on Braille. And then writing back in two, what you see in it with your eyes, you could train with your fingertips.
Right.
To read it through your fingertips. But there are sighted teachers in the state schools for the blind who read Braille with their eyes. So there's nothing wrong with cheating and using the eyes. But if you wish to do it with your fingertips, hey, there's nothing wrong with that method either. And that's right. The method I use for sighted people that really want to learn to do it using their hands is practicing that way.
Okay.
And then as far as methods of other places you can go to learn Braille, if you can't get a hold of a guy like me who could teach you, there is the Hadley School for the Blind. They're a correspondence school where you could get training.
Okay. Appreciate that. Thank you very much, sir. Does anybody else have any questions or anything else they'd like to discuss with Mr. Wolfgang?
So how do you, Mr. Wolfgang, this is Queen, thank you. How do you, okay, as far as completing a sentence, so how do you stop and start a sentence?
Okay. Remember, in Braille, there are spaces, just like in print. So, like, if you put a period at the end of a sentence, which is dots, which is the dot 2, 5, and 6. That's a period. Then you put a space, and then you start your next sentence with a capital sign, which is dot 6, and then continue brailing on from there. So there are spaces in between words as well as between your sentences, just like any other thing. And what I did not mention, which I was waiting for someone to ask, is where do you get the materials to write Braille? Now, those you could get through a specialty catalog, and there are several different types of writing material that you use, okay? Mm-hmm. The cheapest is what they call a slate and stylus, okay? And the slate and stylus, what the slate is, it's a usually metal or plastic thing that you put your paper between, and you punch each dot for dot, to make your Braille. Mm-hmm. And then the stylus is, it looks like a little thing, like a pin, and it's got a sharp pointy end that's like a metal nail, if you will, that makes, that you poke into the paper, into the back of the paper to make your Braille. The other option, which is a lot more expensive, but it's like using a typewriter, and it has 9 keys on the front of it, it's called a Braille writer.
Okay, that's what's up.
And one of those, though, unlike the slate and stylus, which you can get for around about $20, a Braille writer costs somewhere anywhere up to $600 to $700.
Woo! And if you got the money, it might be worth it. You got the money now. So.
Yeah, trust me, if you got the money, it's well worth the price.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then beyond that, you need the paper to Braille onto, and
right.
you use, instead of using your average copy paper for like you would use in your copier or your printer, that's 20 weight, no 20 weight is allowed. If you intend to write Braille and make it so that you can use it and read it and write it and make it useful, you have to use 60 to 65 pound paper.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's almost as thick as cardstock.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. Very, very interesting.
Kenny, doesn't the Ohio Rehabilitation Services Commission still avail people, you know, with blindness to get their stuff for free still?
If they're newly blinded, they local rehabilitation services, depending on the state, can usually help those who are newly blinded, yes. So
be patient because they take forever.
Right.
Yep, they do.
Nowadays, don't, everything takes forever.
Don't talk about us like that. Don't talk about us like that.
I hear you over there. Okay. Does anybody have any more questions for Mr. Wolfgang?
Mr. Wolfgang, have you ever seen any of the Braille books that they have, like in Spanish and Chinese and all that? Have you ever seen any books like that?
Well, I've never actually seen them myself, but I do know they produce them, okay?
Yeah.
If I went over there in China, I would probably see a lot of them. But since I'm in America, no. But I do have a Braille Bible.
Oh, okay.
And now, picture this. You could carry a Bible in your hand. One Bible. Easily carry it. But a Braille Bible is 1 foot tall, 1 foot wide, and it takes up a 6-foot shelf.
Yes,
ma'am.
The whole.
We're talking about encyclopedias.
Man, that's stuff I'm talking about.
Yeah, how'd you like to take 18 volumes of a Braille Bible to church? That would take
a right. You got a whole roll of whole luggage on wheels just packed up with books.
Yeah. I take all the ones off my shelf. I could take about 2 wagons full.
See, so that's why I joke with my like other people in the church. Say, I'll take, I make them a deal. I say, hey, I'll make you a great deal. I'll take your Bible into church. You take mine.
Mm-hmm. When I was going through Braille classes, I used to call it Braille, Braille, what the hell?
Right.
Yeah, I used to, I couldn't stand Braille. And my Braille teacher used to be like, come on, uncheckable. I was like, I do not want to come to your class. And he said, why? I said, because I'm not ready to do Braille, Braille, what the hell?
Right.
You say what the hell? I said something
what
else.
What the hell? What'd you say, 2P?
I said, she did very, very what the, you know, then I was like, what the F? But, you know, I went through it, I got through it, and now I'm an instructor at the Commission of Bryan in South Carolina. So I know what you're doing there, Wolfgang. I teach grade 1 and grade 2 now. And, yes, I have a Chinese Braille book. It's a little bit more different, a little bit different than what we do in our books.
And, you know, when I was going through Braille, I was just recently starting dialysis. So it was kind of difficult for me to feel, you know, the bumps, the dots and stuff. So that's another, you know, issue I had with Braille.
Well,
but I think if I wasn't going through that,
unfortunately, they don't make books in it. But there is such a thing that would have been a lot easier for you to feel. There is
the
what they call
Braille.
Jumbo Braille.
Yeah, yeah, that's what Braille. They told me. I was feeling that better, but I just got frustrated with it. And, you know, like, anything someone want to give it to me in audio.
That part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I would like to thank Mr. Wolfgang for coming through and sharing his knowledge with us, as always. I want to thank Ms. Pride and Joy for introducing our newest segment. We are the BLB, which stands for the Blind Leading the Blind. Appreciate you so much. Mm-hmm. Hope everybody is inspired, motivated to want to go out and learn Braille. You never know. You never know when you might just need it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So, once again, AJ, let's see if you caught this.
Okay.
What is your... What number does your two letters turn out to be in Braille?
I think it's 10, I think. 10.
You got it right. Hey,
ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding. You got
it.
I get a gold sticker, blue ribbon, and a star.
Yay!
All right, AJ.
Hey,
you're pretty. You're doing pretty good, dear.
I didn't make it.
Yay. You'll be sure to teach and walk across that dear state.
Good going, AJ.
That part. What'd you say, Destiny? I ain't messing with you. We got a show to do. Let's keep it moving. Let's go this way. Miss Queen, where we at? Are we at Miss Jada, y'all starting? Know what's going on around.
We're about to have our first speaker. So we'll ask Ms. Unsteckable to come and introduce our speaker while we get him some preparation of music together.
Hi guys. This one man I'm about to introduce, I met him last year. I told him that he didn't like me. No, that I didn't like him. And he's like, he didn't like me either. So I was like, okay, well, whatever. But we became friends. He's part of the crew. And he's a real good friend of mine. I'm going to introduce Mr. Q.
How y'all doing?
So after this next song, Mr. Q, you can give us what you get.
All right.
We can't wait to hear it, sir. And just remember, guys, once he starts talking, you will be going on mute until he's finished. Give him his respect.
All right.
You'll be able to hear him with no problem. He just won't be able to hear you.
Until I'm passing nobody.
Until they get up and do a question and answers, right.
So. You are now listening to AJ and the Quad on the 6 Eyes Radio Network. Hit us up. 424-243-9617.
Lord, God, give me shall prosper.
Kiara Shears and Nick Cannon, No Weapon.
Again, thank you guys for having me.
No problem.
So I guess I'll start with an introduction of myself and my early days and why I decided to become an educator. Wasn't the first thing that I wanted to be. My first love, I was an engineer for a company called PPG, so I worked there 10 years, but I'll get to that. And that song had meaning for me because I've kind of gone through the things that I've gone through, and I know we've all gone through situations at an early age. And to have other people say, well, you know, he won't mount to this, he won't mount to that. I had two strong women, you know, and the reason why I'm so protective of the women in my family is because I had two of them who made sure that no matter what anybody said, I knew that one, that I was loved, taken care of, and I could be anything I set my mind to. And that was my granny, Carrie, and my auntie, Neil. And so that nothing, you know, that I've been through has ever stopped me from accomplishing and doing the things that I said I wanted to do. I spent most of my time here in North Carolina, born in Charlotte. But I really was raised and lived most of my life in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I'm the middle child of five living. I should have been seven. And so I'll touch on that. Probably one of the most difficult things that I had to endure growing up was to be abandoned by my mom and at age eight. And really not knowing that situation in my mind, I just felt like, you know, she's gone to the store, she's gone here. But I knew I had two brothers and two older sisters, or older sisters than he was, and then two twin girls that was about 14 months and stuff. And being 8 years old, only thing I knew to do was what my mom had taught me. You know, she had taught me how to go to the grocery store. I went with her all the time, so I knew how to do that. She had taught me how to go to this particular store. Pride and Joy might know of Mr. Mooney, and he had a soda shop, and I wouldn't be able to go there because he knew me. Everybody called me Little T. That's my mom because I was always with her. You know, and so I knew I could do those two things. So from the middle of summer, from 1 year until the ending of spring the next year, I took care of my brothers and sisters. Like I said, just being 8 years old and pretty much not knowing what I was doing. But eventually the utilities people noticed that the bill hadn't been paid for a while, so a well call that led to my auntie them coming out and realizing that we had been there that long by ourselves, and which they couldn't believe. And actually, when they came in, I was actually standing up in a chair cooking, and my cousin has a picture of that. You know, sometimes I look at it, sometimes I don't, you know, because the memories of it, it's not all good, because in that situation, the two twins, whose baby, they passed. And I think about them all the time. And what would they be doing now? I've said this to my friend Jade a couple of times, but they would have been my, you know, best friends. If they was living, they'd probably be with me, and, because they were, I don't know, I was so connected to those twin girls, and but to overcome that. So my mom did, you know, her time, and for years I hated, you know, I hated her. I had to find some way to get through that, to work through that. And then this with my grandmother, she helped me to overcome that and not let that, you know, be the focus in my life. So life started off pretty rough. There was times where I thought, man, this, you know, I don't think I like this. And I didn't have the passion or love for anything. Just I stayed to myself a lot. But I grew out of that. From there, my love for sports was my next thing that drove me closer to realizing that I wanted to teach. I wanted to help other kids. And again, not because I wanted to, because I was being a bully. I was fifth grade, and I was at a school, Skyline Elementary, and there was a rec center beside it. And I was, had come out, snuck out of the building, because I was throwing these kids in this dumpster. I was actually picking them up and putting them in this dumpster head first. So the director of the rec center saw me, called me, and yelled at me and come running after him, and I took off in the building. So I thought, you know, okay, I just got to stay out the way. He don't know who I am. And for the most part that day, thought I got away with it until I saw him and the principal walking around from classroom to classroom. So they went past my classroom, and I thought, okay, good. Okay, I made it. And they turned around and came back, and he stepped ahead of the room, and Mr. Peoples later became my high school principal, and called me out in the hall and said, you want, you know, explain yourself. And I said, I only time out. And so Mr. Rupert Bell, who was probably my number one, my first mentor, has a huge part and wants to say the names after him. This man really, you know, turned my life around because I never really, like I said, I never was in the sports. I could play in the neighborhood, but never be on the team. I really didn't care about that. So they decided that if I played for the school, they wouldn't call my mom and I wouldn't get any mix. And I thought, okay, I'll play. I was on the fifth grade on the team. And when I fell in love with sports was a particular game that we were 0-0 halftime, and coach had to put me in. He just called this play. He said, you get the ball and go this way and just run down into that line. Okay, I can do that. Did that, you know, 80 yards, they scored a touchdown. What made me love it was crowd. The way that people was cheering, you know, yelling and screaming, I just kind of looked like all that cost, you know, I scored, you know. But it was the excitement that it seems to bring them that made me want to play, you know, and my love for sports grew from there. So I kept playing, and sports was the thing that kept me out of the streets, kept me away from my buddies who were doing all kinds of things, one, selling drugs and all kinds of things. But I never would do any of that because I wanted to play. I wanted to play sports, and I knew my grandmother would not let me play if I got in trouble or if I had more than one B on my report card. I wasn't playing. And so you know, that was my dedication.
So what was one of your funniest moments in college or one of your scariest moments?
Scariest moment. Yeah, having a funny moment. I have a scary moment. Scared me. Doing, you know, I was, like I said, I was never really into girls like that because I just love sports. And I know everybody thought, you know, this athlete and, you know, girls, and like, I just wanted to play sports. And I knew girls was trouble. But when I got to college, and I thought, boy, these different kind of girls. They ain't like the girls I grew up in my neighborhood. You know, these girls are different. And, my grandma taught me something. I dated every race, all kinds. You know, I dated my grandma one day. This one particular girl had come home with me on break, and my grandma took me to the room, and she looked at me, and she said to me, "You love that girl?" And I was like, "No." He said, "Well, why are you dating her?" And I said, "Well, you know, we're friends, we're this and that." He was like, "That's not fair to her." And I'm like, "What do you mean not fair to her? I don't, you know, not understand the question." So my grandma said, "Would you marry her?" And I said, "No, grandma, not at all." She said, "That's definitely not fair to her." And so I was like, "What do you mean by that?" For a while, and so again, same girl, one day was school and scary, she come up to me, she said, "You know, I haven't gotten my period." And boy, you talking about, the only thing that was in my head was, my grandma will kill me, you know. It wasn't, I'm not ready to have a child, you know, anything like this. It's a culture thing because she was Italian, you know, Italian people are different, you know, when it comes to that. And so I'm like, "Oh man, you're talking about scared." I don't think I ate good for a week until finally she did have a menstrual, and I thought, you know what, I know what grandma talking about. And from that moment on, if it wasn't somebody that I felt like I wouldn't marry, I wouldn't go date them. I wasn't going to have any relations with them. I just wouldn't go do it because it was unfair to her. That moment there, that's probably the scariest thing, one of the scariest things that's ever happened to me.
Okay.
Yeah. But college was good for me because it allowed me to get away from home and get away from my friends and my neighborhood because I couldn't express myself. I grew up in the hood and it's hard. You got to be tough. You know, you can't be soft. If they knew that I liked, you know, pop music and Journey was my favorite group and REO Speedway and all that, you know, them brothers would have, even though I was the man, they would have like, "Ah, we can't hang, you know, Q no more. Q," and he had turned out to be something else, you know. And so, but going to college, it allowed me to really find out who I am, what I liked, what I wanted to be, and what kind of person, without me worrying about how other people felt. It gave me the confidence to be that person. And from there, it just grew. I wanted to make a statement. So my first day in college, I went prep. I don't know if you guys remember the prep dress fashion, you know, but I had the color, you know, docker pants and, you know, a nice polo with the multicolored shirts, had my my sweater tied around my neck and everything. And, you know, so, you know, I'm a pretty muscular guy, big guy, you know, and I really was going to get them because I wore, if you guys remember the old Celebrate shoes, we used to call them cheerleader shoes, but they made them for guys. And I remember that summer when I was home, I was like, "I'm going to buy them." You know, I saw about them with the class, my first class. And when I walked in the class, because I was kind of late, and I mean, every head in there looked at me like, "Who is this?" You know, like, who is this? You know, even the guys on the football team, because we had been there like a week and a half before the students got there. Oh, they were laughing. They was like, man, what do you got on? This, you know, I ain't said a word. So in come the professor, and I'm sitting in the front row. And he, you know, I know, like, he's checking me out. And he makes the statement. He says, oh, man, he got one student that knows how to dress. And I look down, and he got on a pair of brown, you know, chilling shoes. And I asked him about it. We talking about shoes and fashion. And everybody in the class, and so all the guys on the team was like, please don't ever wear that again, you know. But college was really good for me because, like I said, it just allowed me to be who I wanted to be and learn a lot more about myself without having to feel like I'm under pressure from my family and my friends. Playing sports in college was, you know, was great. You know, those guys that I played with, I'm still friends with today. We have a reunion. I go, and I just, you know, there's a time in my life that I don't think I will ever forget, and I wouldn't change it. It was so important to me.
So, did you finish your 4 years at college, or?
Yes.
Did you just, okay. Okay. And after that, you just went into being a teacher, or how did you go into being a teacher?
Okay. No, because, you know, I was always good with my hands, building things, or looking at something and saying, I can move this here and do this here, and I can, you know, create things, you know, civil engineer. So my thing was, I started working, some of you heard of this company called PPG. PPG is a government company. They do a lot of stuff for the government. They make chemicals and government wiring and computer circuit boards and different things like that. And so I started working there. Loved the job because the money was so great. And I was, you know, I had just got married, just had my first child. And so I just wanted, you know, I got to give them, you know, wife and kids the best. So working PPG, it was a great job, and I was lucky enough to get them a 73 schedule. So good. As my boys got older, I had my second son. PPG got smart and said, you know, we had a lot of elderly people there. And they was, but once you reach 10 years, you get 3 years of paid vacation, and they pay you, your vacation pay was 4% of your previous year. I was like, 4% of my previous year. I could work all overtime I want. So there was years where, you know, I would make $89,000. Sometimes if I worked harder or wanted to work more, I could make more than that and everything. But I wasn't really missing that because my babies was, you know, babies. They wasn't really playing anything. They were still just worrying their mom to death. And so I said, okay, make this money. PPG then decided they wanted to go 12 hours rotating shift. And they only did it because I was a union person, but they only did it because they knew those elderly people could not work 12-hour shifts. See, after 15 years, you get 5 weeks of paid vacation based on how much you made last year, you know, and it would be 3 to 4%, or 2 to 4%. And so they was paying out a lot of vacation money every year. And as soon as they went to 12 years, a lot of the other people quit. They couldn't, they tried it and they couldn't do it. I could do it, but I realized I was missing my boys starting to play sports, get involved in things, and I said, I'm going to be not just a father, I'm going to be a daddy. And went in one day and said, they tried to be my last day, they kind of laughed, so nobody quit PPG, you know, Fortune 500 company. And I said, okay, Friday's my last day, which they didn't believe me. Friday came and I quit. I just started, you know, seeing what I was going to do. And a principal whose son played on my AAU team, but she was my principal, Miss PA. And she said, you know, you got your degree. So yes, ma'am. She said, you ever thought about taking a teacher exam? And I was like, no. Nah. I said, I hadn't really thought about it. So that summer, that weekend, she's like, we're having a Special Olympics, you know, got to come out and help. And I said, okay, you know, I like Miss PA, I'll go help. The best time of my life. I really love helping those kids and watching them, you know, be so happy, running their events and the relays, you know, the four kids running the relays, slowest times in the world. It wasn't about the time. It was about they was competing and they was finishing and they celebrated each other, everything. It was just beautiful. And I just like, I knew then, you know, when I was a kid, I used to do things like that with my brothers and the little kids in the neighborhood. And I'm like, Lord, I know what you're telling me. And so when I talked to Ms. P, I asked her what I needed to do. And she told me, took the state exam, I passed the exam. She said, go down, you know, to the central office and take the test. Don't worry about putting your name on it. I already got you. And when I took their test, passed, I started working there. And September 4th will be my 23rd year at the same school. So once I started teaching, I knew that it was my calling. My relationship with my kids is like they're my kids, you know. I care about them beyond ABCs and 1, 2, 3s, you know. I think one of the questions someone asked the other day, what I was looking for, one of the most important things looking forward to this year, and I always start off with the same thing, safety. For me, it's always safety, you know. Because you cannot teach a kid and you can't learn, and nobody wants to work in an unsafe environment. And so safety, and once we get safety taken care of, then my next thing is they need to show up. Because if they show up and come to my class, they're going to learn. You know, I'm not a mean teacher. I'm strict. I got rules. And if you abide by those rules, then you won't get to see that other man. And if you break those rules, then we're going to have a problem. In the 20-something years that I've been there, I've only had the right 3D warnings. And that was, and all those came within my first 5 years. So the last 18 years, I haven't written a D1 up because I try to take care of myself. I try to allow the kid to talk to me, why did you do it? Or, you know, and a lot of times it has nothing to do with being at school. A lot of times it's personal issues that they're facing with at home. I'm a true believer. There's no bad kids. They're just bad situations. Remember, they're kids. You know, they're middle school kids. And, you know, Queen can vouch for it. Their hormones are all over the place. One minute they want to be grown. The next minute they're babies. Seventh graders are the worst because their hormones clash together. And they don't know what they are. They go from going to be, you know, grown and baby and boys and girls, and they just don't know. And so I tell the teachers all the time, you remember how hard it was when you was a teenager, just beginning, middle school kid. Well, we don't have half the problems, half the technological advances that these kids have. And yet they have to navigate this world, a lot of them, by themselves. Because either mom is by herself, mom works late, and so she's trying to take care of not just that kid and other kids. And so it's tough, you know, on that kid. And sometimes if you can just look beyond your arrogance and say, I'm going to talk to him, what's wrong? You know, why did you do that? You have me back there. And they'll tell you. Once they trust you, they'll tell you everything. They'll tell you. They'll open up to you. You know, they'll cry with you, you know. And I'll defend them, you know. Some of my coworkers sometimes say, oh, they love you because you saw. And then I've had kids come and say, Mr. Campbell, he's not soft. Don't be laughing because I'm not soft. And I'm soft with the girls, but because they're girls, you know, and I'm a girl dad and a girl granddad, so you know I am about my girls. But I'm not, you know, they will open up to you. And the teachers say that about me, but the kids are defending it. Say, no, because Kevin's strict. Like, he's strict. And they say, why? Because he cares, you know? And I tell the teacher, how many times, how many lunches have you brought a kid? When you saw that that kid didn't have any lunch money, because you saw them give them what they call the no money lunch, where they give him just a starch, I think, you know, and a roll, and they don't even give him no meat, you know, and stuff. But they have to give him that, you know, milk and, you know, they macaroni can be considered a meat, you know, and something like that. And who's going to eat that? But those some kids are eating because they're hungry. They haven't eaten, you know. And teachers see that and go, that's okay with you. As an adult, that's okay with you. Not just a teacher. They don't have to be your kid. That's never okay with me, you know. That's never okay. The only reason why I take, you know, $50 of cash with me to school every day, and I tell them, I wish y'all had a car scanner in here, and the lady can see. She said, you'll be broke, you know, because I just can't stand to see a kid hungry and no one else seems to care, or they don't want to, you know, they turn their head so they can have plausible deniability. If I act like I don't see it, then I'm going to have to have a heart towards it, you know.
Right.
And I've seen teachers do it, you know. I've seen teachers do it. So, and you know, I just, that's something that that is, that's big for me.
Right.
That's,
so tell
that's
us.
Huge.
Tell us about the subject you teach and the sports you coach.
Okay. I am a corrective reading teacher. I love to read. I read and study all the time. That's why you say I talk too much, because I read and study, and I have all this information in my head that I want to want to get out. And so, but I love to read. And so the one thing that a lot of middle school kids that I've learned over the years is that reading is something that they hate to do. They hate to read. They are good at math. All kids are scores good, black, Hispanic, white. If you look at their math scores, they're pretty good. They're not bad. It could be better, you know, in applied math where they got to read, you know, a problem and then pull out the, you know, the quotient and stuff to get the answers, right? So some of them struggle with that because it requires reading. They're good at science because there's experiments and they like that. But when you talk about just plain reading, it's where most Hispanic and black kids fall down because they don't want to read. They don't want to read. And it's not because they just hate reading. It's because in their developmental ages, and somewhere in elementary, they miss something. You know, it can be something as simple as they don't know their blends, whether it's regular blends or irregular blends, things like that. They don't even, I've had kids who don't know pronunciations, don't know how to take two letters and put them together. And what is that? I've had a kid say RT. And I'm like, huh? You know, like, so they don't understand that. They miss that. And once you re-teach them, especially with the blends, I've had kids who don't know the vowels. And I ask them, I said, tell me your vowels. What the vowels, you know, and they'll guess because they instead of consonant and stuff. I try to teach them what makes vowels special, more special than consonants. You know, because a consonant can only do one thing. And you'd be surprised at kids that's in the sixth, seventh, and eighth grade who don't know this. You know, and I tell them, you have to, you know, just reteach them, you know, simple stuff. It's not hard, but it's the reteaching. Just keep on drilling in their head, repetition and stuff. You know, not the kid is like, I don't know. I said, so you don't know the difference between what a consonant can do and a vowel? And he was like, nope. Consonant can only say it's what? Name or a sound. And he's like, sound, right? Right. I said, so, and what kind of vowel do? It can say both. It can say his name or his sound. And, you know, he sit there and he looked at me and he thought about it. You know, that's what makes vowels special, the vowels are. And you go back and then you take that and then you piece together the blends, you know, STR, ST, the endings, you know, the affixes, suffixes, and all those little things like that. And once they learn some of those keys and stuff, you'd be surprised. You'll see them grow. And once they start growing to where, because in their core classes, I have their teachers and we have our meetings and stuff, and they'll say to me, oh, such and such don't read. He won't read or he'll get in trouble. He'll do anything so that not to read and stuff. And then once I get them and I tell them, I want the day to come when that teacher comes to me and say, let's see, little kid, I tell you about Alex. Alex read today. She said, I can't believe it. Alex hadn't read all year. He raised his hand and read today. And I said, how did he do? She said, he did pretty good. Yes, because he's an Hispanic kid who has a language barrier, you know, because blends and sounds a little different in Spanish than English. And then to understand the concept of this broken language, you know, called English. And so once he learned those things, his growth took off. So Alex, when we took the grade test and his reading, he grew 16 points, you know, 16 points. So that's the reason why I love reading, because it is the gateway to everything else you're going to do. If you can't read, there's not too much you can do. They don't even have pictures on the keys no more at McDonald's. You know, you got to be able to see the words. You got to, you know. So, and I keep that in my mind that what I'm doing is I'm hopefully helping these kids to a brighter future and being able to read as dad. Coaching. What can I say? Coaching to me is just like teaching. Because I would say this. If it was up to me, every kid in middle school would have to play on inter-scholastic team. Would have to play something. And not just the big three, football, basketball, baseball. You know, I mean, coach, I don't know everybody want to do that. But if there's a debate team, you get on the debate team. You know, if there's a robotics team, you're on the robotics team. You know, if we got the teachers who want to teach the girls hairstyling, and we're going to have a contest where, you know, you got five girls and they're going to compete against these other girls at this school and best hair design, whatever. It is not about what it is. It's about what it teaches you to compete.
Right.
To work together with somebody, you know, and to compete. I just believe that, you know. Corporations, you know, cooperating with somebody is great, but we can compete as adults. We compete for everything, for your job, you know, that house you bought. You weren't the only person who wanted that house, that car, and definitely that, you know, that male or female that make you have the googly eyes and stuff. You ain't the only one who want he or she. That's somebody else wanting too. So you compete, you know. And so when they said, you know, we're taking competition out and we're putting cooperation in, that was the worst thing. That's the worst thing. That and No Child Left Behind is the two worst things that ever came out of Washington. You know. How are you not telling kids to compete?
Right. So tell us, how do you feel about everything that's going on in the world now today with the school shootings and violence and things like that?
I'm literally shocked by it. I don't know why, you know, that someone will decide to get an AK and go into an elementary school and kill babies. You know, and everybody say, oh, well, you know, he had mental issues and whatever. Okay. And my problem is that when I see these men sit up there and go, but we don't want no gun restrictions. And I'm sitting there going, he just went into school and he shot 19 babies. And so you go say, as the governor of Texas said, suspect, you know, he has some mental issues. But you don't want to do anything to stop a person like that from getting a gun. Right? So everybody shouldn't be allowed to have guns, you know, because they're not responsible. If I don't pass the driving test, do they give me license to drive? No.
Exactly.
They don't give it to them, right? So I have to qualify, right? So then why is it okay? Because the NRA says so. And so, you know, and so some of these, our politicians, they got them in their back pocket, you know. And I said, it won't change until somebody go in one of these fancy schools that these congressmen kids go to, and I don't mean this in a bad way, you know, and they shoot up one of those schools and their kids, and then maybe reality will set in, like, you know, maybe allowing someone with mental illness to have a gun ain't a good thing. You know, like, because when I was in school, I never, and I don't think any of y'all, I never went to school and thought somebody was going to come to school and shoot up the school. That was the farthest thing from my mind, you know. I now, like I said, safety is the number one thing. We get back to school on the 17th. We talk about, okay, how can we improve our safety and everything. And I think about it all the time. You know, we have, in the mornings, we have three ways in. Those ways are guarded, you know, for kids coming in from the bus. So we have a resource officer there and a principal and staff. You have the front door, which they're not supposed to, but they can. But they have to be buzzed in and everything, and someone to check them in there. And then what I do is I do the morning duty from the car lot and stuff. And so we monitor everybody that comes in there. Once school starts, it's one door, right? It's one door to get in. But there is an issue, and a safety that I'm going to bring up when we get back, because it's happened twice. Okay. When I go to school, it's suburban, upper middle class neighborhoods and everything, and it's real wooded trails and whatever. But we've seen in the 20 years that I've been there, in the last 2 years, a black bear, you know, out on the track. And one day, this year for last, the gym class was out there running, and they had just left, you know, because one of my classes, I could see the track. And they had just left, and they come out. So I was still kind of on my lunch break, and I was actually just sitting there looking at the track and looking out. And then I see this, you know, I'm looking, I'm like, what is that? You know, first I thought, it's a big old dog. And I'm like, you know, dog, that's a bear. So then I called off and tell the resource officer, you know, hey, man, it's a brown bear. I mean, a black bear on the track. And so I thought, we got to do something about that, because I know this with animals. If you see a bear on a wooded area in a trail and it's coming down, whatever, following that bear, it's going to be a panther. There's going to be a panther sooner or later following that bear. They run in tandems, you know. They're going to follow him. He's going to follow him because he knows that's a food source somewhere, you know. And like I said, I'm about an hour from the lower mountains of Virginia. And like I said, it's wood, and these trails are just woods that they can easily follow down, you know. And so we need to address that. How do we do that when the kids go out? I would go have a resource officer and need to go out there and sit. That means then there's no officer in the building unless we need two officers. So no. So rather than give the kids teaching a gun, then when y'all go out, I thought, you know, we need pepper spray. We need the pepper spray that sprays up to, I think it's 30 feet, you know, on the horn and whatever. So when that teacher takes that class out, you know, you can protect them. Because I do not want to see a kid get mauled by a bear or a mountain lion.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So that has been on my, you know, since Alex, because that's really been on the forefront of me getting back to school and dealing with our safety issues and stuff.
Right. So have you guys ever had a gun scare or anything like that?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Kids are copycats. And
right.
So a kid brought a gun, wasn't loaded, found his stepdaddy's gun in the garage and put it in the bag, in his book bag, while he's at home. He forgot to take it out. So the next day he came to school, it's still in there. Now this kid, when he realized that that gun was in there, he went straight to the resource officer. He took his bag off and set it on the resource desk. And the resource officer told me, he said, oh, so I knew something was wrong as soon as he did that. And he, you know, and the kid said, you know, I didn't mean to do it. And it doesn't matter if he didn't mean to. They had to suspend him for 10 days. They had to then do their report and had to go out to the parents' home and charge the stepfather because he didn't maintain a safe, you know, keep the gun safe and away from the child. Well, the next day, some kid thought, oh, it was cool. That's cool. So he gonna bring a loaded gun to school just to show everybody. Now, he don't even realize the gun's loaded. He thought it was unloaded. He got in his book bag. But he's showing everybody. And he's a good kid. He's a kid and got no trouble with it. But, and so when they found out, we had to go on lockdown until they found the kid, found his book bag, and do all that. You know, again, his was a little different because it was loaded. And so he was suspended for the remainder of the year. And so he'll be able to come back at the beginning of the school year and stuff. But, yeah, you know, the lockdown thing is serious. For me, it's real serious now that I have my granddaughter there. And I
I just
pray nothing happens. We had that situation because I said to him last year, I said, I don't know if I could fit, you know, my classroom is in the pod, which is not attached to the main building. And I don't want to be in the main building. I don't want to be around all the people because most of them, I don't like them like that. But I don't think that I'll be able to sit in that pod and my grandbaby is up there without me trying to make sure, go get her and let's make sure she's safe. You know, my instincts as a granddad, you know, I just don't know. And I told him that. I said, man, I just don't know. You know, that's going to be tough. So I'm just, you know, keep my faith and keep praying that we get through this year. But then she's in high school, and so I'm going to decide which high school she's going to go to because the one high school that she wants to go to is the high school where 2 years ago kid, you know, had been picked on and bullied by this one kid, and kids got tired. You know, Mount Tabor is a real prestigious school. And so there was a cafeteria, and he was walking with his girlfriend. Another guy, you know, had in his hand, had a gun in his pocket, and he walked up asking the guy was going to say something, pulled a gun out and shot him 2 times in the chest.
Oh, wow. You know,
so it's, you know, it's tough. But my biggest thing is we just need better gun control. You got these states where now you don't need a permit to carry, you know, concealed weapon now. And I think more of that is just aimed to just, you know, hey, let the bad ones kill each other off. You know, but it's never the bad ones killing the bad ones. You know, there's always an innocent person somewhere getting hurt, you know. Just recently, right. the mother in her car or whatever, and her daughter's like, you know, she think her mom's in the wrong place, wrong time, shopping, whatever, and it, you know, she gets shot and killed. You know, that's how my grandbaby lost her mom. Her mom was so smart, so beautiful, you know, good girl. She seen a friend broke down on the board when she stopped to tell the girl, she said, you know, I got a jack in the car and, you know, and everything like that. And so she said, okay. So she turns around to go, you know, walk to her car to get it. And all of a sudden you just hear bullets just, phew. Now they shooting at, you know, them two, or really trying to shoot the guy and whatever. Her friend, the girl, she gets hit. But, my grandbaby mom is killed, you know, so I tell everybody, you know, I'm tough. I think my grandbaby is the toughest person I know to have lost your mom and dad before you reach 13. And, you know, she has her moments. That's why I'm so protective of her. But she, you know, she's come a long way. She's come a long way.
Right.
So, like I said, I love teaching. I don't think I would ever want to go back to working PPG. I want to continue to do what I do. And my boy's the main program. I got to talk about that. So we have a lot of young men in my school who don't have fathers. Their fathers are not in their lives at all. We do have some new fathers. Might see them once a week or once every other week. And then I have about four whose dads live at home. This group consists of about 50 boys. Started this program about 30-some years ago. And we meet every Thursday at the media center. Every Tuesday they dress up. And so we have two uniforms to wear, black on black, but a black and orange tie or a bow tie. And the eighth graders get to wear the bow tie. And then when it's hot, we wear the khakis and the white shirt and get the same kind of tie and penny loafers and stuff. But I love the fact that when they get dressed, they're totally different. The things we cover is, I tell the boys that we're going to learn about being the best young man you could be, despite your circumstances, right? Your circumstances has nothing to do with the choices you make in life, right? They don't. And I tell them this, I can say that to you because I am a living testimony to that. I'm not telling you something that I read or somebody told me. You know, I'm telling you because I was one of you guys. And so I want you guys to learn to forget everything that you ever heard people say negative about your dad. You know, some of them look at me, you know, they would say to me, I don't care my dad, you know, if I see him. I don't care. I don't like him, no way. I don't, you know. And I look at him, I go, you lying? And they're like, no. I said, oh, you lying? Why you say that? I said, because I said the same lie to myself. And I said, but, you know, about 4 years ago, I realized how much of a liar I was. Because every little kid, every little boy wants to play outside with his dad. I don't care what anybody say, to throw that ball with your dad when you're young, to have your dad, you know, put them knuckles in your head and grind them in and come in your room and wrestle with you and do all that stuff. Every little boy wants to do that with his dad. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're black, white, green, purple, with a polka dot in the middle of your forehead. We all have that same desire. And so I told him my story about my dad and me being so mean to him as I got older. Even in college when he came to see me play, I didn't even want to talk to him. And even when my son was first born and my wife and my sister tricked me to come to my sister's house, and he was sitting there holding my son, and I just like verbally, like, I don't want that man holding the son. It's just rude. And my wife was strong enough to tell me you're wrong. If you don't, she said, that's, you know, he has a right to know. And I used to don't let anybody tell me in front of my kids, but for whatever reason, her telling me I was wrong kind of shame when I left and went home, years passed. And I told the guys in my group one day, about four and a half years ago, I said, I'm a hypocrite. And they're like, why? I said, because if I tell you guys that there's two sides and give your dad a chance to tell his side, because you don't know what happened. You don't know why he left. You don't know. Someone told you. Right. And I said, and I was the same. And I hated my dad for that. But I can remember some things as I got older that I know if that would have been me, I would have left too. I know it. I can visualize it. And so I tried to make up with my dad this one particular week. Called him that Friday, said that he was back in town. And Friday, I'm going to come and get you and leave school and I'm gonna take you out for early dinner. And I could tell in his voice he was so happy, crying and everything. And, you know, I was trying not to cry and stuff. Because I was on the phone with my group, and they was like, you know, they clapped and everything. And so we couldn't go that Monday. We couldn't go because I had something come up at school the last minute. Tuesday, couldn't go because he was sick. So I said, well, Pops, I can't do it Wednesday because you got a makeup game. And he said, all right. He said, well, you got to do that Thursday. What you got to do Thursday? I said, nothing. I have nothing to do. He said, well, that's even better for me. And so my guy said, hey, you know, and you got to bring him by here so we can talk to him. And this and so he was like this. And I told him what I did, what I was doing, and everything. And so my guys was like, the ones that was in class. And my dad died that Wednesday. And I felt horrible. Yeah. It didn't bother me at first until, you know, about a month ago. You know, about a month ago. And the memory of how bad I treated him you know, makes me ashamed of myself because I was going on what, you know, my mom said and, you know, and other people. I'm going to share this with y'all. This is, you know, I've only shared this with a few people. But I can remember one particular night in the house. And for whatever reason, my mom fed us early, and we had to go to bed early, you know, about like almost an hour early. And I'm like, well, we gotta go to bed so early. And in my mind, because I knew my mom. She got to something. And so I went and sat in the living room, and was in the kitchen like that bright light. And she looked, and she really didn't see me. And we had this big old spaghetti dinner, salad and everything. And so after we ate, you know, she took the spaghetti, set it on the table. She reached under the kitchen sink and pulled out this red box. I can remember that box like yesterday. On that box, in the middle, was a big old skull and bones. And at the bottom was these just black rats and had these little, you know, droppings. But I already looked in the box before, so I knew what it was. And I'm like, why is she getting that? And I watched her pour it in that spaghetti, stir it up, and put it back on the stove. And she saw me. She yelled at me, made me go to bed and stuff. So my dad would get off work. And at this time, my dad had a good relationship. And I remember her, because I got up, and I was like, go tell my dad don't eat spaghetti. And when I got up, she made me go back in the room. Do not come in this kitchen. I mean, you just mean to, you know. And I was just, you know, what do I do? You know, do I just yell it out? Don't eat it? You know, like I said, I was a kid. I didn't know, but I knew what I saw. About 30 minutes, 40 minutes, I just heard an ambulance coming and, you know, they had to put the IV in and this and whatever, go to the hospital. And so when I was telling my younger brother and my sister this, weeks ago, they was like, that's why his side of family can't stand him. And I said, yeah, she tried to poison him. I knew for a fact.
Oh, wow.
You know, I had just forgotten about it, you know, in my memory, you know, because there's so many bad things, like bad times and stuff. So I had forgotten. But, you know, that kept bothering me. And so I preached to my boys about forgiveness and let your dad tell his side of the story. And once he tells it, if you agree and you understand, then try to be, you know, just say, I still your dad, you know, and be his friend, you know, and let it just happen, you know. So that's the reason why I do it. Yeah. Just too many little boys who dads out there, and nobody knows. And I had a dad tell me one time, I said, you got a great son. Why you don't? And he said to me, because they poisoned my son so bad he hates me. I said, how do you know he hates me? He said it. They don't want to see me, curse me, listen, because then filled him up with all that poison. I said, but that's your son, and you got to fight through that, you know, because
right.
He don't know the truth, you know. So, and that's why I do that program. It's dear to my heart.
That's a great program. Wow, what a story, Q. What a story. I want to personally thank you for coming on, you know, the Six Eyes Radio Network, hanging out with AJ and the squad. You know, the squad really, really, you know, appreciate you coming on, AJ and the squad. But that was a good story, and we see why you love teaching. Check, check.
Yeah. Check.
All righty then.
That's good.
We want to thank Mr. Q. We want to thank Ms. Jada. The lines are open. I believe everybody is off the mute. If you're not, press 1. We'll see you, get you off mute, and get you in the host queue. Anybody have any questions, any comments, please. You know, we always like to start with the queens, so we go on with the queens. And go ahead. The floor is open.
Yeah, hey, queen.
Sure. Go ahead.
This is Emily, honey.
You
know,
what
that young man was saying,
mm-hmm.
as far as not having his dad.
Right.
I haven't seen my biological father since June of 2001.
Wow.
He hasn't contacted me. He ain't said hi, bye, kiss my tail, no nothing to me. Ain't heard from me. He don't contact me. He ain't sent me not near one birthday card since 01.
Mm-hmm.
So for the young men out there that might be listening tonight, if you got your daddy and you know your daddy is within yelling distance, you got to be thankful you got him there. Because I ain't seen my dad since June of 2001. I don't know where he is, if he's alive, dead, or what.
Okay.
I got my ex-stepdad in my life, and he's been more of a father to me than my own dad.
Sometimes they are. Yep.
Yeah, that's how it works, you know. But sometimes I think the stepfathers don't get recognized.
And... like I'm saying, these young men out there that want to buck up against their dad and talk about their daddy like their dogs, they ought to thank God they got him.
Yes, ma'am.
Because when you ain't got your real dad in your life and you went through health crisis after health crisis and you ain't got any matter to say, Daddy, what do I do? The ones that do have them need to shut up and thank God that they got him.
Amen.
Amen.
You're right about that.
Because I'll tell you right now, I'll tell all of you, I've been through cancer 4 times since 01. And I'm fighting it yet again. And I don't have my father to say, Dad, should I stop my treatment? Should I agree with the doctor?
Right.
My doctor stopped my cancer treatment because I'm now homeless. And he said until I could get a roof over my head, I'm going to start him again.
We just want you to know there's no replacing your father, Ms. Emily, but we here at the 6 Hours Radio Network, AJ and his squad, we are here for you. Anything we can do, anytime you need us, you know, you can consider us family. You know.
Right.
I don't know if you're here in the background. You had one of my kitties yowl last year.
Well, we'll take that.
Right.
Like all the support we get.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mr. Q, I want to personally thank you myself, Mr. Q, for being what you are in our kids' lives. They need it, you know, and from the youngest to the oldest, they definitely need some strong figures in their lives. So thank you very much, sir, for what you're doing.
Thank you.
Yeah, because even like I told my younger two children, their dads were, my next to the youngest, her dad was never in her life. He didn't want nothing to do with her.
Mm.
And like I told my next to the youngest, my daughter, I told her, I said, you know what? You may not have had your biological father in your life, but you had an uncle that when the state took you from mommy, was willing to step in. Him and your Aunt Rhonda were willing to step in, take y'all in, raise you, and still allow you to see me.
Yeah.
I said, so you kids may, my younger one, his father abused him verbally, mentally, sexually, the whole nine yards. My youngest son, if you ask him if he wants to go see his biological dad, do you know what he'll come out with? Oh, you mean the queer bait? And I told him, I said, that's enough for that kind of talk. I said, your dad might have done you wrong, but he's still your dad, and you're going to respect the man as your dad. But that don't mean you got to agree or appreciate him depreciating your life. I said, right. You need to knock that off. And I put my kids in the check real quick. When they start getting disrespectful or mouthy or whatever, I put them in their place. Even as young grown adults, I still put them in their place.
Okay.
And these young people out here that sit here and disrespect their parents and sit there and call them no good so-and-sos or whatever, they ought to thank God they still got them.
That's right.
Right.
No matter
That's right.
how low down they get or how low down their parents are for them, they need to shut up and go sit down somewhere and respect them, because when they're gone, they're going to be wanting to cry these crocodile tears.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, oh, I wish mom and dad were here and this and that. You know, my dad, as I said, hasn't been in my life since June of 2001, and just recently. And this is what killed me to have to do. My mom, last year, fell and broke her ankle on my daughter's 30th birthday.
Mm.
She came home, was home less than 48 hours, and had another fall. And it killed me to have to tell her, Mommy, maybe you need to go back to the nursing rehabilitation center permanently, because I can't be with you 24 hours a day. Where she had her apartment, I could have only been with her for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And that killed me to have to tell her that, but God also showed me it was best for her. And every day she's calling me, hey, what you doing?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wow, and it's unfortunate to be like that.
And kids that got their parents need to shut up, go sit down somewhere, and just respect them. Even if they're being mean and low down, they need to cool it.
That's good advice, Ms. Allen. Good advice.
Who they are.
Because
it, when you have to take as the only girl in the family to talk to your mom and tell your mom, it's time, we're going to have to put you back at the nursing rehabilitation center, and we're going to have to bring you what you could have there, other things that you don't have room for, we're going to have to put in storage.
Right.
That's right. That's right.
And people that haven't had, young people that haven't had to do that, they don't know how bad that breaks your heart to have to tell your parents it's time, we're going to have to put you in a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
Right. No one wants
right.
to see their parents
right.
put in a nursing home, you know?
It's unfortunate, but sometimes it, you know, it ends up like that, and, you know, it's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
yeah,
you, Ms. Emery.
He's had so many falls since. As I said, he fell last year on my daughter's 30th birthday, broke her left ankle. Then she did the real funny thing. I can look back at this now and sit here and laugh about it. She had common sense to go down and get checked because she knew she couldn't bear weight on her left foot, and it was hurting her real bad and everything. They wounded her foot. But when it came down to the doctor telling her they wanted to keep her at the hospital, she looks at the doctor and goes, oh, I don't want to stay. My daughter can take care of me at home. I sit there and I laugh about it, and I told my mom about it, and she goes, honey, she goes, to be honest, I was in so much pain, I don't remember saying that.
Right. Miss Emery, we hate to cut you short, but we have to pay some bills and play another song.
Just want to let you guys know I enjoy you guys.
We enjoy you too, Miss Emery.
You.
We appreciate
we
you and
you
thank
too.
You coming through as always.
And as I'm going to tell you, for me and my mom, big air hug to all of you.
Thank you. Thank you, Miss Emery. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
You're
thank your husband.
Well, I lost my first husband. I lost him when we had our had Afghanistan. His, my son's father, I'm still working on trying to get rid of him.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Emily. We thank you so much, baby.
Yes. Take care, bud.
All right,
all
right.
You
good night. Good night. All right, you guys. Let's play a couple of
videos. Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love ya. Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
Radio, radio.
Good evening, everyone. I have to... Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening, Ms. Destiny.
Hi, Destiny.
Yes. Good evening, everyone. I have the
good
best
evening.
Pass of the night, and it is introducing to some and presenting to others a true woman of God, the Queen, Miss Lady, everyone's sweetheart, and she is a sweetheart indeed. She is a very influential woman in the school system where her kids love her. She is a mother of a beautiful daughter and a handsome grandson and a man, AJ, who loves her from the heart and loves her to death. The next voice you will hear will be that of the queen, Miss Lady, everyone's sweetheart.
Yay!
Amen.
Anna.
I don't even know what to say with that one. I don't even know. But I'll take it, though. I'll take it. I will definitely take it. So before I get into that, I'm going to give you a black
history. You are now listening to AJ and the Squad on the 6-5 Radio Network. That was a Jackson 5 with ABC.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, everyone's favorite sweetheart, our Miss Lady, and that she definitely is a classy one at that,
mm-hmm.
Our queen, my queen. Floor is yours, my lady.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, how am I supposed to talk after that? Hello, good evening, one thing. Thank you, my king. Thank you, Destiny. Destiny's a true, true friend, you guys. Before I go into what I'm going to talk about real quick, I want to give you an American history moment. And with this being the back-to-school segment, we're going to talk about Ruby Bridges. She was an American hero. She was the first African-American child to desegregate the William France Elementary School at the age of 6. She took care of this. She paved the way for civil rights. And to this day, she's still writing books, and she is still fighting for our kids' civil rights. So we thank you, Ruby Bridges, for what you did then and what you're still doing now. And with that, I want to thank Q again for giving us his segment on school and how he felt about things. I'm just going to cover the child nutrition department now that I am in that department. I used to think, you know, the cafeteria ladies, the lunch ladies, they was just somebody got back there and prepared some food and gave it to you, and it was that. But once we lost some funding through Title I and things changed and I ended up there, it is not that at all. It's a lot of work to run in a kitchen. It really, really is. But since the pandemic, they've been giving away, the meals have been free. Breakfast has been free. Lunch has been free for everybody all across the board. But this year, USDA, United States Department of Agriculture, and DPI, Department of Public Instruction, have decided to start charging again for meals. Now, if you are on any kind of government assistance, be it food stamps, SNAP, Medicaid, WIC, any kind of government assistance, you will automatically be free. However, you still have to fill out a form, and you only have 30 days to get that in, or you will start being charged. Remember, you have 30 days from the first day of school to get your form filled out. If you qualify for any of those programs, all you got to do is sign it, put your kids' names down, turn it in. You got to do all the paperwork on it. Also, if you're fostering a child, if you have an adopted child, if you are nourishing or taking care of a runaway child, a homeless child, they are also automatically free. They don't even need no paperwork, period. But just remember, you only have 30 days to get your paperwork in. And I stress that because we are still trying, even after the 2 or 3 months, to get parents to turn in their paperwork. Parents that I know for a fact are going to be free. All you got to do is give me a paper and sign it. That's all you got to do. But then when the kids start incurring charges, now you're mad because you say, well, our kids are free. Yeah, but we also told you you still got to get your paperwork in. So while you're sitting here fussing with me on the phone, you could have filled out the paper already. It doesn't take but a few minutes. You don't have to fill out all the financial part, just their names, sign and date, and bam, that is. But just remember that nobody's free now automatically. You can set up accounts. You can set up accounts for your children through K-12NorthCarolina.publicschools.org. Again, K-12.NorthCarolina.publicschools.org. And if you don't get it, I'll leave it on the board or somewhere for somebody to get it. But that's the website to set up an account for it. With the account, you already put money on it. It's like a prepaid account. You put money on there. As the children come through and they have to pay for something, it automatically comes off. When it gets down to $10, if you've got that much on there, they'll send you a notice, an email, a text to let you know it's getting down to $10. Once it gets down to $5, your child can no longer get anything because the cutoff is $5. That didn't used to be. There used to be a cutoff, but I guess because at the end of the year, there's so many kids that was owing that the school has to be responsible for paying these charges if the kids owe it. Now, that can be a big problem because now you're taking away from other parts of the school that needs it to pay for these kids' lunches. Well, the kids already had the lunch. You're not going to take the lunch from them. And I heard Mr. Q say something about the lunch they have to give them if they don't have money. Our system is called an alternative meal. That's a cheese sandwich, an apple, milk, a fruit, and a cheese stick. Now, me being me, never gave a child an alternative meal. I just can't even see me doing that. And I told my director, I'm now working on my fourth director now because they don't stay around long. I said, if you ever see me giving a child a regular meal and they're not paying for it and you feel like you need to fire me, I'm okay with that because I know I did what was best for that child. Being out here in the streets and knowing these children and knowing their situations, I know when that child come up to me and say, can I have some more food, I know that child needs that other food. So I'm not worried about if they have money. I'm not worried about what's in their account. I'm not worried about how many times it came. I know for a fact that that child needs that meal because I also know that child won't get another meal until they come back to breakfast in the morning. I know that for a fact because I know these people. So as I told my directors, if y'all ever see me doing that, I'm sorry. Go ahead and let me go if you need to. But I know God's going to take care of me because I did what was right. So, you know, our kids are in a very bad situation. And sometimes it just takes a meal. You know, I know how I get when I get hungry. Whew, AJ know how I get when I get hungry. We know how we get when we get hungry. So imagine, and we can do something about our hunger. We can go buy something to eat. We'll fix something to eat. But what about that child that's hungry and can't do anything about it? Can't do absolutely nothing about it. So I had a teacher, and she was, oh, she was in her, I don't know, younger teacher, kind of real snooty type. She had this one particular kid that gave her a hard time every day, every day. Well, I knew the baby situation. So we were in a meeting, and she brought up the child's name. And I said, you know, look, let's not single out that child, okay? Let's not do that. And she's like, well, he is this, he does this, and he does that. And he's, I said, look, have you ever thought to figure out why he acts like that? All you're saying is he disrupts your class. He does this, he does that. But have you ever tried to figure out why? Well, no, but he, you know, she just kept going on. I said, okay, let's back up with it. So if you wake up in the morning, and let's say your alarm clock didn't go off, so now you're late. Okay, fine. You just got up out of your comfortable bed. You're going to run, take your shower. You get to go to your closet, pick you out some clothes. You know, but to go to the refrigerator, maybe fix you something to eat. Go outside. Let's say you may have a flat tire, but then you can call AAA. They can come fix it for you. You get your nice little car, and you come on to school. You fixed all your problems that you had that morning. Now, let's go back to that little boy, the same little boy that you say gave you a hard time. So he woke up on the floor because there was no restroom to sleep, after crying all night because somebody in the house was touching him. So then when he got up, he had to wear what the brother wore the other day that was still dirty and didn't smell right because there's no other clothes for him to wear. His socks are mismatched because there's no more socks. He went and looked in the refrigerator, and there was some water and some baking soda. So he didn't eat. Again, he still hasn't eaten. So now he's getting on the bus. They're picking with him on the bus because his clothes and stuff look the way they look. So now he's been bullied. So now he comes in to breakfast and he wants something to eat. But now he's so mad because he can't fix any of his problems. So does he have a right to be mad to something? Yeah, he mad because he can't fix nothing that just happened to him. But you can. You can fix all your issues. But you mad because he threw a chair? He should have threw two of them. So I'm just saying, if that baby was hungry and if y'all knew about that, bring him to me. Bring them to me. And now I'm at the point, and I thank God that I am, that I've got relationships with parents that will tell their teachers, when my child gets to cutting up, just take it out there to her. She'll know what to do with them. I have kids coming to me all the time. Well, what happened? Oh, this, that. I tell the teacher, just go head on. Just go into class. I'll bring them back. So now that they've pampered them and they've babied them, they tried to compromise with them, once that teacher turned around and walked out that door, I got in that child's face. If you don't get up out this damn flow, act like you got those sits. Not a problem. They get right on up. We talk about a few things, and I tell them, I got to come again. I'm going to the bathroom, and I don't have to use it. You know what's going to happen. Our kids just need to know that people care, that people generally care about them. And if the best I can do to show you I care is to give you an extra meal, then, hey, that's what you're going to get. And if I get fired for doing so, as I said, God will take care of me because I know I did the right thing. So, again, get your paperwork filled out. It's not going to be free this year, not unless you want to live a government assistance program, which is any of the programs. Any of the programs you get, any kind of government assistance, your child is automatically free, automatically free. Now, if you go eat with that child, you're not free. don't think you're free because you're not. You're not free. So if you go, like we have a holiday meal at Thanksgiving and parents come in, so when you come in and you get your meal, your child is going to be free, but yours is going to cost $8. I'm sorry, but the prices have went up. They're going up this year. Our meal that was $5 for the last 15 years is going to be $8. Our milk that's been 50 cents is going to be 75 cents. Again, it's the way of the world now. Everything is going up. Meals are changing. Portions are changing. All I can tell you is just bear with it. Just roll with it. Just know that we can't do anything about it, like we said in our serenity prayer. If you can't change it, don't sweat it. Just roll with it and just make the best of it. You know, school nutrition has changed a whole lot. Again, I could be the first one used to say that it was this, it was that. But now being behind the scenes and seeing how it actually works out, it's really a hard job, but it's a very, very valuable job. And lunch ladies and cafeteria workers, they get the raw end of the deal every time. When the pandemic started back in 2000, they told us on March the 13th, that Friday, we got relief, we'll call y'all Sunday or Monday and let you know what we're going to do about next week. By Friday night, they was already calling us, telling us we were closing. But we fed every day since then, since March 13th. We have fed the neighborhoods, we've fed communities, we've fed schools, we've had drive-through sites, we've taken the food to people. We have not stopped since the pandemic started. We are the only department in the school system that has not stopped working since the pandemic started. Do we always get recognition for that? some, sometimes, sometimes not. But that's not the point. The point is it was needed. And now that I know what it's like and now that I'm there, I have much respect for the child nutrition department and school systems. I don't care what y'all think the food might look like or, you know, of course it ain't going to be seasoned like it is at home. But it's a nourishing meal. It's a healthy meal. It's a meal. It's a meal. To somebody, it could be steak and potatoes. You can look at it and frown up at it, but somebody else might want two helpings of it. It's a meal. It's nourishment. It works. It's there. So I'm just saying, just, you know, respect your cafeteria workers. They work hard. I tell you, they work hard. My crew is outstanding. They never stop. They get along just fine. But I tell you what happens, my babies are fed every day. Every day my babies get fed. Mm-hmm. There's not one child that runs out of there that did not get fed because they didn't come. That's why they didn't get fed. But if they came through there, they got fed. Now, they also have what's called offer versus serve. Offer versus serve is where there's two entrees, two fruits, two vegetables. The kids have to pick what they want. Now, if your child is in school, let your teacher know. You cannot tell that child what they have to have. The child has to pick it. Only thing they have to have is a fruit or a vegetable. But they have to pick which one they want. So when you got that teacher saying, you got to get that, you got to get that. No, they don't. And don't let that teacher do that. Because if DPI come and audit you or give you a review and you're letting her do that, you're going to get in trouble. So tell that teacher, let them know, nope, and they don't have to have a milk. They don't have to have all that stuff. Let them pick what they want. But they have to have three components, and a fruit. One of them has to be a fruit or a vegetable. When I say components, I mean protein or meat alternate, fruit, vegetable, grain, and milk. That's the five components. They have to have at least three of those, and one of those has to be at least a fruit or vegetable. They can have both of them if they want to, but they have to have at least one. So you guys that got kids in school, and they run through that system. It's called offer versus serve. Let your teachers know that. Because if they don't, they're going to get y'all in trouble. And you don't want to get in trouble with DPI because that's federal money. And you don't want to mess up federal money.
Exactly.
But with that, I mean, that's about the most of it. I mean, you know, school's getting started back. Some may have started already. And if you I suggest you try the meals, because the more money your schools make, the bigger the numbers are, the more reimbursement they get, and the more funding you get for that school. It's not just about, you know, the school, the food don't look like this, the food. Fill out your paperwork. Get approved, because your school needs that funding. They get reimbursed for every meal that goes through that cafeteria. That money goes back into the department, goes back into the school. Your other child could benefit from that money. So I encourage you to at least fill out your paperwork, even if you go through lunch line once a week. If you still want to bring your lunch, fine. Just try at least once or twice a week. But encourage it. Support the child nutrition department, because I'm telling you, it's one of the most important departments in the school system. It might not get treated that way, but it is, because it services everybody in the school. Everybody. So be nice to your cafeteria ladies. Go give them a hug every now and then. Give them a big old smile. Tell them thank you. You appreciate them. And then we'll even make up songs like we do at our school. So. But if there's nothing else, that's about the basis of it. If anybody don't have any questions, that's it. That's what I got for you.
Floor is open. Suggestions, questions, comments.
I just got a comment. I just want to thank her because I know exactly what she's talking about, you know. And they are, you know, the cafeteria ladies at our school, they are a good group, and they do the same thing. They know the kids who needs that extra meal, and the director, the manager, you know, she might not do it out open, but she's going to make sure those kids got enough to eat, you know, and she's going to take care of them. Don't care what the screen say that they a dollar over. The dad will say, don't worry about it. She'll tell the cashier, don't ring this up and everything, and they're going to feed them. And, yeah. You know, I don't, like you said, my granddaughter don't eat the cafeteria. You know, she don't want it. She's, you know, she wants DoorDash every day, though. But anyway, but I do sit it out. But I love those ladies because there's a couple things they fix are, you know, just good. The barbecue chicken, and they do the taco salad. And when they see me on those days, they They take care of me. They fix it. And I don't get charged for nothing. Now, they don't charge me for anything. But they know that I spend so much money buying other kids' meals. But I probably every month, Miss Amy, I go in, and they love donuts. And so I stop at Krispy Kreme in the morning, and I get 2 dozen of donuts. You know, I get
I'll take some lemon seal, please. Thank you very much.
My favorite too.
Yeah. So they love, the plain, and they love the assorted cake. And I bring them to them, and that's what they want, and they love that. You know, but, yes, they are very important.
Yeah,
and I appreciate you.
Definitely.
Appreciate everything you do. Because I know those kids that don't eat, and you're right, they eat that one meal at their school, and they won't eat again until they return to that school. Mm-hmm. And that's a shame.
And you were saying that you buy, I heard you said you take cash, and say, do you have an account set up at school?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so what you can do is get your account set up, and whatever child you're going to feed something, they can just take it right off your account.
Yeah, I try to keep money on there, but when I go in there and say, you know, well, what happened to the $50? Well, your granddaughter got 4 bags of chips, and my granddaughter got a big heart, so she's gonna buy her girlfriends, I bought her a chip, and I go to her and I say, Amir, that supposed to last you? She's like, Papa, don't worry about it, you know, they need. I said, Amir, but I can't feed everybody, and she pawpaws me to death to where I just like, I'm not going to win this argument. I knew you were going to say something.
But through the pandemic, with the kids being free, there was kids that had money on their account, so we were selling snacks from time to time. And I had a couple of kids, they just buying everything. They were just buying them. And one teacher said, oh, you can't buy that much? I said, look, until their mom or dad tell me they can't buy that much, they're going to buy whatever they want to buy. This ain't your money.
Whatever they want. That's right.
We're trying to make some money in here. This ain't got nothing to do with you buying you nothing.
Right.
You mad?
That part.
Right. His mama gave him the money, so she know what he's doing.
Right.
And I knew she gave it to him because it went through online. He didn't bring it to me. It was an online payment. So she want him to buy something. This ain't got nothing to do with you.
Hey, look, I remember when I was younger, it was always a school candy store across the street from my school. And my mom was like, get $5, go buy you some chips and stuff for your lunch. I wasn't looking.
Right,
I just took the 50. I took the wrong bill. I took a 50. I was in there buying everybody in the candy store something, and they called my mom, and then was like, your daughter got the $50 bill. She think it was a 5, you know. We know she ain't no better, but we holding your money up here. But she done bought the whole candy store. Everybody had something. We was having fun that day.
Not bad.
Right, that part.
Stuff for them teachers.
Well, hey, if I do,
I said something that was helpful to somebody. And
very helpful. Yeah.
Again, if you got some papers, you get it filled out. 30 days.
Brought back some memories. Yes, daughter, right there. I tell you. I've seen him.
Do we have anyone on the panel? Squad, we have any callers, any listeners still there in the background that would like to comment on anything that they've heard tonight? Last chance, opportunity.
Everybody's mic is open tonight. Okay.
Last call to talk to the squad, okay?
I don't know which one of the squad was just talking about how when they were younger, they thought they took a 5 and they took a 50.
That was uncheckable.
Check. Had an early baby, you couldn't check her then either. It was like, it's just,
told me to take a 5
candy
and I took
store
a
with
50,
a
50, okay?
Like, check, hello?
Okay.
I can relate to that because my mom thought she handed me a 20 and she handed me a $100 bill. Then when my mom realized what she did, boy, she called the school, and she said, you tell my daughter I'm going to bring her tail home and touch her.
Right. I would do that from time to time. Kids that normally don't have money would come in with $5, $10. Like, where do you get this money from? My mama, okay, well, I'm going to call her right now. Some of them was legit. Some of them was like, you take that money, I'll be up there to get it in a minute. I'm like, look, your mama said you can't have it. I said, but look, here, you take these and just go over and sit down and eat them right quick. But your mama getting this money back.
Yeah.
I know, because then I went home with only 50 back to her. Boy, I got my fanny tore up. Yes, I did. I got tore up for that one. Because I stopped it right down here. It was right up above from our school, bought my breakfast and my lunch when I was supposed to got breakfast and lunch and been able to get something from our school store. And when she found out what I did, boy, I got tore up.
Yeah, you at school shopping. You at school shopping.
Okay.
School
shopping for real.
No, right.
Real quickly, because I see we're almost out of time, but before we get up out of here, like we always do, real quickly, God grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference, and we all say amen.
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 Amen. What's that song we going to go out with?
Well, I want to thank Mr. Q. I want to thank, of course, our queen. I want to thank Emily, Mr. Wolfgang. I want to thank everybody that came tonight, all the listeners, all the callers, and, of course, the squad. I guess Mr. Six took the night off. So, we really appreciate him, giving us this platform to be able to do what we do every Friday night. So I just want to say to me personally, I want to thank our guests tonight, Mr. Q and Ms. Queen, Ms. Jada, Ms. Pride and Joy, with our new segment of the BLB, Evangelist Clayton, and everybody else who participates and add to this every night. And make sure you all join us every Friday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the 6 Eyes Radio Network.
Squad.
Squad.
Alexa say sorry. I don't know that. Ain't nobody talking to you.
Yeah.
She be always in my business.
Gonna freestyle. It's gonna freestyle.
Everybody have a beautiful, beautiful night. Enjoy the sun. And we do a little
and the weekend.
Dancing.
Yeah. Yeah. You are now listening to AJ and the Squad on the 6 Eyes Radio Network. Hit us up 424-243-9617. Check.
Finally, it's the weekend. All the hard work behind me. Yeah. And I just invited all my friends. By the cross of being on the grill, yeah. And get together and play some cards, yeah. A couple of drinks, something smoking, dude, I'll be, yeah. No one's got hating in their heart. Whoa, whoa. A backyard party. A backyard party. We're just having a backyard party. Yeah, we're just having a backyard party. Oh, I thank God it's summer.
Not summer.
Cause it feels so good to be outside. Yeah. And the music sounds like heaven.
Yeah.
Made me wanna grab a towel and clean my ride. First I'ma pour something on the grill, yeah, and then mingle with the girls.
And I wish that they could feel this celebration all around the world. Hey, hey, it's a backyard party. Oh, a backyard party. We're just having a backyard party. Yeah, we're just having a backyard party. And
even if it
looks like rain,
oh, oh, if it looks like rain, they're
sure gonna take the rain away. Rain, rain, go away.
We're gonna take some shots.
We'll take some shots, yeah.
And just hope for a brighter day.
Oh, I just hope for a brighter day. I feel like, yeah, feel like, whoa.
That was R. Kelly with Backyard Party.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, guys. Thank you.